Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
With you this morning, church. I have the privilege of sharing the word with you this morning. So before we see, can we get our Bibles and open up to the book of 2 Corinthians? I really want to thank Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky for the opportunity to be able to share with you this morning, for the privilege, really. And I just want to thank the Lord for all he's blessed me with over my life. Thank for my wife and my kids and for my church family. I love you guys. Hope you love me. You guys don't sound too sure about that. I'm going home. No. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read one verse right here, and it's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. I'll read it again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Can we all just begin to lift our voices in prayer right now and pray for God to speak to us this morning? Go ahead and lift your voices and pray for God to speak to your heart this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need your word, Lord. Speak to us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. If I was to give a title to this message, I would call it Jehoshaphat's Secret Weapons. Jehoshaphat's Secret Weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. I want to pick out a few words in this sentence to make sure that we all understand what these words mean. The weapons of our warfare. Warfare is the first word. Warfare. We must accept that there is warfare. There is warfare. Good and evil do not partner together. Okay? Good and evil don't partner together. Good and evil don't sit down and have a handshake and partner together. Good and evil don't do that. Good and evil oppose each other. Good stands against evil, and evil stands against good. And to stand on the side of good is to stand against evil. There is no gray area in that. To stand on the side of good means to stand against evil. And to stand against evil means that there are times you will truly feel evil pressing against you. And that's what warfare is. Warfare is when you are standing on the side of good and you feel evil pressing against you and you press back. That's warfare. Evil presses against you, but you press back. A theologian and Christian teacher called E.M. Bounds said this: it cannot be stated too frequently that the life of a Christian is a warfare, an intense conflict, a lifelong contest. It is a battle, moreover, waged against invisible foes who are ever alert and ever seeking to entrap, deceive, and ruin the souls of men. warfare, fighting against invisible foes. It was from, I believe, a 1995 movie, The Usual Suspects, where one of the most famous quotes was, "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he doesn't exist." The devil does exist. He's an invisible foe. And when we stand on the side of good, we are resisting him. We are pressing against him, and he is pressing against us. But praise be to God, it's not just hand-to-hand combat. We have weapons. This battle involves weapons, and we have them. The weapons of our warfare, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. As much as we must accept that there is warfare, we must also accept that there are weapons. And as we know from the things we see in the world, the things we see on the news, the things we hear about in various cities around the world, weapons aren't toys. Weapons have a primary purpose of either defending, damaging, or destroying. That's what weapons are for. The weapons in the world are used either to defend something, or to damage something, or to destroy something. Can someone say amen? Whether you're talking about a small gun like a Glock, or whether you're talking about a nuclear warhead, weapons are not playthings. Weapons are tools that are given to people to use in their battle against something. And as we stand on the side of good against evil, we have weapons that we're able to use in that fight. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I got weapons. I wouldn't even want to try and stand in hand-to-hand combat with the devil. Mama didn't raise no fool. The devil's been around a long, 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 long time before I came on this planet. He knows a thing or two that I just don't know. I'm grateful I don't have to stand hand-to-hand with him. I'm grateful that God has given me weapons. But what does Paul say there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? The weapons of this warfare are not carnal. And in this scripture, that means they're not physical. They're not worldly weapons. When we're talking about weapons here right now, we're not talking about guns or bombs. We're not talking about blades or batons. Those are physical weapons. That's not what we're talking about. The weapons that we have as Christians are spiritual. We have spiritual weapons. That means that we have weapons that you can't see and weapons that you can't touch. They're not physical. They're spiritual. We have spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual enemy. But just because they're not seen and they're not touched, they are very real and they are very dangerous. I kind of get encouragement from that. You know, the Lord doesn't send us into battle with pea shooters. The Lord doesn't send us into battle with water pistols. We actually have weapons that are dangerous. Weapons that are able to damage and to destroy the work of the enemy. We have weapons, but catch this. A weapon is only really as effective as the person wielding it, right? You know, if someone has a gun and does not know how to use it, it's going to be dangerous for all kinds of reasons. If someone has a gun and knows how to use it, it'll be dangerous for another reason. A weapon is as effective as the person who is wielding it. And I love the fact that the scripture doesn't just say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. It's almost like the weapons that we have don't fully work unless God is flowing through them. The weapons that we have don't really work unless God's purpose directs our use of them. You know, the weapons that we have are just, you know, kind of like shells, empty, blunt blades, unless the power of God is moving through them and through us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. They are powerful when they are used for His purpose. And that power we have seen released through the cross of Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He took the place of me and you, which meant that the sin and the guilt that riddled through us and held us down no longer needs to be riddled through us and no longer needs to hold us down. There is a victory that was won at the cross, which we now have. We have a victory. We have a power. There is a power that God has for us, a power that we can wield in our fight against evil. I'm so grateful that if we align ourselves with the cross of Christ and with the cause of Christ, that there is a power that is made available for us to move forward and to see good established in our lives, in our families, and in our world. And the weapons of the enemy will not be able to prevail against them. I thank God for that. We don't have peace shooters. We have weapons. Let's read that verse again, but let's read it this time in a different translation, in the New Living Translation. It says this: we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. What are the strongholds of human reasoning? See, the thing is, we all have reasons for doing things, right? None of us just do things for no reason. We all have reasons for doing things. We eat because we're hungry, unless you're fasting. We sleep because we're tired. But you know, it is possible to be hungry and to choose not to eat. And if you're hungry and you choose not to eat, there's got to be a reason for that. There's a reason why you're not eating. Likewise, it's possible to be tired and not sleep. That sounds like my son right now, right? That's my son, Dylan, right now. He loves the idea of staying up as late as possible. His dream at the moment seems to be to keep his eyes open for a whole night. He's like, yeah. He kind of gets off on that. Whoa. Because there's a reason for that. If you're tired and you choose not to sleep, there's got to be a reason for that. Why are you not sleeping? Why have you chosen not to sleep if you're tired? And that ability to reason and then choose is something that is very sophisticated and very human. Human reasoning and human choice. Human reasoning is this ability to reason and choose. Think it through and choose. It's like when you go into a shop and there are two pairs of jeans. Two pairs of jeans, both the same waist size, the same leg length, the same color, but a different cut. And they're there thinking, okay, which pair of jeans do I buy? The same waist, the same leg, the same color, but different cut. There's a process, if you're like me, there's a process that you'll go through of trying one on, trying on another, Don't look at me like you don't do that. I know you do the same thing in front of the mirror, sit down, strike a pose. How does it look when I run in this? Ooh, okay. Two pairs of jeans, exactly the same, but a different cut. There's a process of reasoning that you go through to decide that one looks better than the other and then to choose to buy one. That's human reasoning. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I buy this pair or should I buy that pair? I'm gonna buy that pair because of these reasons. Human reasoning. Now, a stronghold of human reasoning is when you're stuck. It's when you're stuck in a process of reasoning and choosing and you can't get out of it. Does anyone ever know? Has anyone ever been there before? When you feel like you can't help but think about something in a certain way. You just can't help it. Whenever you think about it, you keep thinking about it in a certain way, and then you keep making a certain choice. Has anyone ever had that before? And it's like you try to think differently, but it's like you're stuck in thinking in a certain way. You can't change your thinking. And therefore, you're like, and then you make a decision. It could even be a choice that you've made before that you really regretted. But yet you find yourself making the same choice again. So wait a minute, I should have learned the first time, but I'm stuck. There is a stronghold of human reasoning that when I think something through, I keep thinking this way, and then I make that decision. I make that choice, even though I wish I wouldn't. It reminds me of the elephant. They say elephants never forget. It reminds me of an elephant that gets tied to a pole. And when the elephant walks, he can only walk so far because the rope gets tight and he can't go any further. And after a while, the elephant gets used to the fact that he can only go this far. He gets used to the fact that if he pulls, he will get this far and then he will have to stop. It reminds me of the elephant that was untied from the pole, but because of the way of thinking, still never went any further than a certain point because he was so used to never going any further than that, even though the rope has been loosed. Reminds me of the flea, the jumping flea in the jar. You put it in the jar and you put the lid on it and the flea jumps only as high as the lid until it gets so used to jumping only as high as the lid that even when you take the lid off, it just keeps jumping just that far, not realizing that with a little bit more effort, with a little bit more push, the flea could jump right out of the jar. But there is a stronghold of reasoning that keeps the flea thinking the same way, even though the rope is gone, even though the lid has been taken off, the thinking remains. I can't go any further. I can't jump any higher. This is all it's going to be for me. This is as far as I'm going to go. This is it. I'm never going to change. I'm never going to break through. I'm never going to be different. I'm never going to rise higher. This is as far as I go because there's a stronghold of human reasoning in my mind, and I can't break it. You're stuck. Stuck in this way of thinking. And even though the situation's changed. It's different now. There's fresh air blowing through the atmosphere. But still, I'm stuck. This is how it is. This is how I'm gonna be. I'm never gonna change. There are some more examples of this. Some people have a stronghold of human reasoning like this. You hurt me, so I'm gonna hurt you. you hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. I won't encourage you because I need encouraging myself. I need encouraging. Why would I encourage you? I need to be encouraged. I don't like you, so I can't love you. It's impossible. When I look through my human way of reasoning, I don't like you. So don't ask me to love you. Stay out of my face. Huh? These are very common strongholds of human reasoning. A plus B equals C. And because of A and B, C is what I'm going to do. I can't think of it any other way. That's how it is, isn't it? But for those of us who've been a Christian a while, we could see right through that. We looked straight away and thought, no, that's not how it has to be. Because we know better now. We don't have just human reasoning. We have godly wisdom. See, human reasoning can make sense, but doesn't always make good. Human reasoning can make sense and yet still just make things worse. But godly wisdom makes things better, makes things good. See, if we were to change these sentences to, instead of human reasoning, change them to godly wisdom instead, they would say this: you hurt me, so I'm going to forgive you. You hurt me, and therefore, I'm going to forgive you. I will encourage you because I need encouraging myself. I need encouragement, and I can't see it coming anywhere. So I'm going to go and encourage someone else, and we're going to throw our own party. I don't like you, but I will love you nonetheless. I don't like your attitude. I don't like the way you look at me. I don't like the way you talk about me. I don't like the way you don't look at me. I don't like the way you don't talk about me. But even though I don't like you, yeah, I can choose to have a heart towards you that's full of love. I can choose to overcome all of that petty stuff. And I can love you with the love of Christ. You see how different that is? Human reasoning and godly wisdom. You see, our actions themselves are weapons that either make things good or make things worse. And whenever we experience that warfare in our lives, that pressing against us, situations or feelings or emotions that begin to make us feel a certain way, we can choose. We can go through the human reasoning and make a human choice, or we can use godly wisdom and make a godly choice. Either way, it's like a weapon. One weapon will make things worse. One weapon will escalate things. One weapon will go from bad to worse to terrible. But one weapon will make things better. Even if you have to keep on using it and get better at using it, get better at using it, get better at loving the ones that don't love you, get better at forgiving the ones who hurt you, get better at encouraging people who don't encourage you. As you get better at using the weapon, slowly you see the power that is at work through that and you begin to make things better. It's a choice. It's a warfare choice. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Talking about mature Christians, it basically says that mature Christians are those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A mature Christian isn't someone who shouts really loud in tongues. A mature Christian isn't someone who knows all the verses to Amazing Grace off by heart. A mature Christian isn't the one with the biggest Bible and the brightest Colgate smile. A mature Christian is the one who, by reason of use, have learned and exercised their senses to know what is good and what is evil and to do good in every situation. Are you, are we, am I truly handling the challenges of our life with God's wisdom? Or have we just been using human reasoning? And this brings me to Jehoshaphat. Because so far, these examples I've given have been fairly easy to understand. But this warfare isn't always like that. Sometimes the weapons that God has given us look very strange and very hard to use. Have a look at this video clip right now. Check it out. See what you think of it.
Series 4 deatomizer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Noisy cricket.
Hey, Kay, no, come on, man. You get a Series 4 deatomizer, I get a little midget cricket. Oh, yeah.
How many have seen that before? Men in Black. He looks at the weapon and thinks, this? You want me to fight with this? Later on in the movie, he uses the weapon, and it is so powerful, it blows him back like 50 yards every time he uses it. But at first, he didn't recognize how powerful this little thing was. He was like, no. My human reasoning tells me that big baby over there is the one that I need for this fight. But actually, the truth was that he'd been given something very powerful. It might not have looked like it was, but it was more powerful than he thought. And I say to us that we as Christians have weapons that are way more powerful than we think they are. If we are carnally minded, we'll think, well, what's that? How is that going to help me? I'm feeling this. This is happening in my life, and you're telling me to do this. How is doing this going to help me fight this battle? Don't give me a little cricket gun. I want something that I can see, that's tangible, that feels big and good. I want something which matches my human reasoning. But God has given us weapons that are not carnal, not worldly, not earthly, but they're mighty in Him. We need to learn to recognize the power of the weapons He's already given us. And this brings us to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. From 2 Corinthians, we're going to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, right there in the middle of the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it says this from verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. So here is King Jehoshaphat, the king of the nation, and his guys come to him and tell him, King, there is a huge army coming against you, us, here, now. We've seen them. They're right over there. We are able to pinpoint their location. And they're on the way, King. They're coming. Bigger than our army. Way bigger than our army. And they're coming for us Now, I don't know how you would be in that situation. I totally understand why it says in verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared. Or it says in the New Living Translation, Jehoshaphat was terrified. Fear. Fear. The enemy's coming to get you. Fear. Fear is not only an emotion, but fear is also a reason. A reason to make choices. Remember human reasoning? Fear. Why are you doing that? Because I was afraid. Why are you doing that? Because I was afraid. Why are you hiding that? Because I am afraid. I have fear. There is fear in my heart. Fear is not only a reason, but it's also a stronghold of human reasoning. Sometimes we find ourselves stuck in a fearful mindset. We start to panic. We can't see the way forward, and the fear becomes a reason to make choices. And we start making choices based not on faith, but choices based on fear. Joyce Meyer said that negative minds full of fear and doubt produce negative lives. The fearful mind makes so many choices, 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 until their whole life has become some kind of escape from something they're scared of. Rick Warren said that fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. Just like the elephant that doesn't want to move any further. Maybe he's become scared, or maybe he was trained, hit whenever he would go too far, and the pain makes him scared, so therefore he doesn't push any further because he's scared, because of fear. But what does the Bible say? Not what does the situation say. Not what does the circumstances say? Not what does logic say or human reasoning say? What does the Bible say? In Psalm 118 verse 6, the Bible says, "The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Another translation of self-discipline is a sound mind. Sometimes we allow situations in our life to spark panic in our thinking, and we're not thinking in line with God's word anymore. We're not thinking in line with God's truth anymore. We're thinking in line of fear. We're thinking in line with whatever we felt in the past. But God says, if I am for you, who can be against you? God promises that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So why would we hold back and stay back against evil rather than push forward against evil, when we know that the God who is for us is our hedge of protection? He is our firm foundation. He is our covering. He is our sun. He is our shield. He is our belt buckle around our waist. He is the one that gives us wisdom, gives us understanding. He's the one who leads us, goes before us. He backs us up. He is prevenient. He knows what we need before we even get there. He's not surprised by our situation. He's not surprised by our circumstances. He knows exactly the end from the beginning. Why would we not trust a God so loving, so merciful, so good, so able, so powerful, so ready to help in times of trouble? Why would we not trust him? Because of a stronghold of fear. Fear is putting trust in what might go wrong rather than putting trust in what God is able to do. What did Jehoshaphat do when he heard that there was a massive army coming against him? When he heard that an army that completely outnumbered and outflanked his own was coming against him? Yes, he felt fear, but then what did he do? Verse 3, he begged the Lord for guidance, and he ordered everyone to begin fasting. Prayer and fasting were his first weapons because fear was his first enemy. Prayer and fasting. Do you know what's going on in my life? And you're telling me to pray? Do you know what I'm feeling inside of me? And you're telling me to pray? Do you know what they did to me, and you're telling me to pray and to fast? I don't want that little gun. What's that? Don't tell me to use that. Give me something else, something that makes more sense, something that fits my human reasoning. Give me something big and bold and shiny, something that I can really do. What did Jehoshaphat do? The first thing he did is he prayed. J.H. Jowett said, it is the field of prayer that life's critical battles are lost and won. In the field of prayer. You know why? Because it is in the field of prayer that we beat the fear. It's when we get on our knees and get into that dialogue with God and get into that conversation with God. It's when we get into that place of truly bringing our hearts to God that the fear that leads us to make wrong choices is beaten. Why? Because in that place of prayer, we begin to have faith. We begin to believe. God, you are good. God, you are able. God, this is not too hard for you. This is not too difficult for you. You've given me promises. It's in that place of prayer that we begin to win the battle before the battle has even begun. I'm so grateful. You know, there was a time in my life, there was a time where I was there and I was going to get into prayer and I started shouting and stuff. I was like, rah, I started shouting and and it's almost like I kind of felt the Lord kind of like just tap me on the shoulder. And I was like so into it. I was like, you know, wait, Lord, I'm trying to pray to you. And it was like, God was like, Anthony. Yes, Lord. It was like God was saying to me, Anthony, talk to me, man. Talk to me. What are you feeling? What's going on in your mind? What's happening in here? Anthony, talk to me. And I'm like, but wouldn't you rather I yell at you and I sweat? And God's kind of like, well, we can get to that later, but right now, talk to me. Tell me what's in your heart. Share with me. Speak to me. Don't hold it back. Well, I'm not very good with words, but listen, you're in a different place right now. This is just you and God. Just to say it, just speak it. God, about this situation, it scares me, God. This situation, I don't know how to handle the situation. And I wish I knew. You know, sometimes it's like other people know what to do in these things, and I don't know what to do, and I feel lost, and I just feel helpless, God. And I don't know, God, I need you to hear me, because there's things going on in me, and talk to me, God said. And it was a breakthrough. I began to feel this peace because I began to realize that God is real. And in that moment of really talking to God and God talking to me, something began to break. The battle began to be won right there in the prayer closet. You see, the weapons that we have are not the worldly weapons. The weapons that we have, it's not just a matter of like, well, this is what we should do, right? This is how we should think, right? If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, right? If you hurt me, I'm going to do this back to you, right? If I need to be encouraged and no one's encouraging me, then I need to go and do something else. I can't encourage anyone, right? If someone's coming against me, then I got to come against them or show them how much I don't like them, or I got to do something, right? I got to get in their face, right? I got to handle it this way, right? If I can't afford to tithe, then I should just not tithe, right? I got to do things in my own thinking, right? I got this. It makes sense, right? It's logical, right? And God says, no. That's human reasoning. I've given you another weapon. Pick up the weapon I've given you. When Jehoshaphat prayed, this is where I'll draw it to a close. When Jehoshaphat prayed, and the whole nation prayed, as they gathered there in that place and prayed to God about this enemy coming, something began to change in the atmosphere of that room. The enemy was still coming, but something was happening in that room. Something was shifting in that room. And then in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the room. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, listen. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And that is my personal 2016. I am not afraid. That's mine. I'm coming into this year and I've seen enemies. I'm coming into this year and I've seen rough times. I'm coming into this year and I've seen things and I've heard things. And I know that there is a devil that doesn't like me or my family, but I am not afraid. This year, I'm going to move forward. This year, I'm going to break through. This year, I'm going to write songs. This year, I'm going to preach messages. This year, I'm going to see people saved. This year, I'm going to disciple young men and old men. This year, I'm going to break through things because I ain't tied to the pole no more. And the lid has been taken off my life. I am no longer bound. I am no longer tied. I am a free man. Because God is with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? So if there was anything I was scared of in 2013, if there was anything I was scared of in 2014, if I felt fear on my back in 2015, under the blood of Christ, in the name of Jesus, I say today, 2016, I am not afraid. I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid. I will go where you tell me to go, and I will do what you tell me to do, because I've been to the place of prayer and I've heard God say to me, I am with you, mighty man of valor. And I say to you, church, I say to you, do not rely on human reasoning. Do not rely on the wisdom of man. Get into the prayer closet and tell him how you really feel. And listen, 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 listen to the voice. Listen to the word. Open the Bible and listen, listen, and you will hear God say to you, my son, my daughter, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. How are you making your decisions, church? How are we making decisions, church? Do we realize that we're in a battle and there's no gray area? Are we thinking like mere mortals? Or are we trusting in the Lord? Come on, let's magnify the Lord right now. We've got to magnify him. That's a weapon right there. Lift your hands right now. Lift my hands. Why? Just do it, man. These are weapons right here. These are weapons. Lift your hands and begin to tell Lord, you're great. God, you're big. God, you're good. God, you're able. God, nothing is too hard for you.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.